we stand in awe of the fact of our need and of your superabundant grace, we are honestly at times emotionally confused that our great wrongs can be righted with such little effort of our own. In all honesty, it makes us doubt the reality of forgiveness at times. And we find ourselves trying to magically work up enough feverish pitch at an altar rail or in a song to try to somehow attain the sense of worth that we sense that we need to have in order to receive forgiveness. And yet it is your wounds that have paid my ransom. And nothing that I do, not my sacred acts, not my worship of you, not my faithful service to you. Lord God, I pray that you would free us from the bondage of sensing the need to earn forgiveness or the insanity of believing that we ever could, while at the same time grasping firmly to the reality that if we are forgiven, we should live as those who have been set free. Lord, may our acts of kindness and mercy and grace and forgiveness, our worship of you and our acts of service not be done to try to earn something that we cannot ever repay, but rather may it simply be us saying thank you. May it simply be a heart of gratitude that says, I cannot earn what I have received, but because I have received, I will give what others do not deserve. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be like your Son in this way. And I ask these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to take a moment and say thank you to a few people, and I'm going to be missing lots of people, and I'm aware of that, though I'm not aware of the ones I'm missing. Otherwise, I wouldn't be missing them. But I want to first of all say thank you very much to our beloved Marty, who, despite over a month of illness, has come back as soon as she could sing. And she's doing so because she loves to worship, but also because she has a deep-seated sense of loyalty and faithfulness to her God and King. And she actually enjoys it, so that's a huge benefit. I also want to thank Pastor Megan, who this past weekend gave up a night's sleep to shepherd 60 kids and who knows how many adults. There were lots of adults that helped her. She knows them, and I know her, so she's great at thanking them. But I think it would be appropriate if we as a congregation would express our gratitude and thanks to her. Come on, come on, give it up. 60 kids. I struggle with my four at times, so. I stand in awe of all you do. No. So there's a sense in which we need to be grateful for the fact that there are so many people doing so many things every single week in and week out that make church possible because, number one, it's not my church. I mean, it's my church that I belong to, but it's not my church, and it's not Pastor Megan's church. It's Christ's church, and it's our church. We are the church. And so if you're not actively engaged in doing something for the kingdom through a ministry of the church, I would highly recommend you consider what your gifts are and then find a way to give to the world through the church. That is the appropriate means of expressing gratitude to God, our Heavenly Father. We are starting a new series today called How to Pray. And we're going to be looking at three different prayers of Jesus because I think he might be a good model to follow. I mean, feel free to try to correct me if I'm wrong on that. But Jesus seems to be a good model to follow for a Christian. And so we're going to be looking at his three primary prayers, the priestly prayer and the prayer of Gethsemane and the Lord's Prayer, which might be more accurately entitled the Disciples' Prayer. And we're going to be looking at that one first, and we've entitled the sermon for today, Daily. How do we pray daily? And so Matthew chapter 6, 5 and following says, "And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words." Now, pagans is not simply So we think of it as a pejorative term, a derogatory term, and well, we should. But basically, all pagan was somebody that worshipped the many gods. They did not worship the one true God. So it's religious people, but of false religion. For they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. I can really resonate with that. You know, don't babble on and on and on at me. I already know what you need. La. This then is how you should pray. Now, notice, first of all, I want you to hear this. He didn't say this then is what you should pray. Now, there's nothing against praying the Lord's Prayer. I think it's a beautiful thing to do. I usually do it at funerals. And every once in a while, like one of the things I enjoy about our Cuba Council of Churches is usually at the end of our meeting, we'll all stand together and recite the Lord's Prayer together. I think that's beautiful, right? In fact, our Council of Churches meeting is tonight at 5. Megan reminded me this morning. I'd forgotten. But it doesn't mean that's what you're supposed to pray every single time you pray. It's a model to follow. It's how you should pray, not what you should necessarily pray. And this then is Matthew's version of it. There's slightly different versions in the different Gospels. It says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Now, this is the only place you'll ever run across this word probably in your entire life is in the Lord's Prayer. But it just means holy. May your name be holy. Hallowed be your name. "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And then this is not the prayer anymore. This is Christ's explanation of it. It says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Lord God, I pray that you'd help us to understand through this series, and especially today, how you want us to pray. I would imagine with over 2 billion Christians in the world today, this might matter a little bit. And so I ask that you would help us to be humble. I pray you'd help us to learn. And I pray you'd help us to be willing to change, especially those of us that have been praying for decades. I pray that we would all, every single one of us, walk out of this room today changed. Whether this is our first time considering prayer seriously or whether we've been doing so for the vast majority of a century, help us to be willing to change. I ask these things in your name. Amen and amen. Louis, could you grab the lights in the back for us, please? Could you roll the video?
Talking about pre-meal prayer. Very confusing subject. A lot of people don't know when to pray, what to pray for, how to pray, who prays. Hey, do you want me to, should I pray? You want to, should we pray? I don't know if, all very confusing. We're going to cover it all today. Let's get started. Chips and salsa. Sometimes they bring it to the table before you're even seated. There's no need to pray for that. Lots of people wonder about appetizers. Do you pray for them? Do you not pray for them? No prayer is necessary for an appetizer if you have entrees coming out later. Salad, that is the most confusing thing on the prayer continuum. If it's a side salad or an appetizer salad, no need for prayer there. Now, if it's a main course salad or you're bringing it out with the rest of everyone else's meal, that then is gonna require some kind of prayer. But I put that kind of in a separate category. For the most part, when you're thinking about salads, just remember this. If it requires dressing, it doesn't require a blessing. Do I pray for coffee? No. Are you a psychopath? No one wants to be next to the person at Starbucks that's praying over a latte, you weirdo. Soup. Do you pray for soup? Do not pray for soup. It's only bowl-related soups. Anything smaller than that is always off the hook. I like to say if it comes in a cup, no need to lift up. Everyone knows if you order a hamburger, that's going to require prayer. But if you order sliders, that does not require prayer. It's a little glitch in the system a lot of people are not aware of. Potato skins, no prayer. Baked potato, prayer. Ask any Bible-believing Christian, they're gonna have a different policy on fries. Some say, never eat the fries. Some say, eat as many as you want. Here's the policy on fries. Up to 3 fries is acceptable to eat prior to the prayer. That brings us to dessert. Always a very confusing situation. A lot of times people go out to a show, go to a movie, hey, should we grab some dessert afterward? Yeah, let me get the creme brulee. I love cheesecake. Ugh. You don't need to pray for that because you've already prayed for your meal earlier in the night. Do you hold hands before you pray? That depends on your situation. If it's a personal family gathering, some close-knit Bible study of some sort, sure, a hold hand wouldn't be uncomfortable. Now, if you're on a Tinder date, That might throw off the mood a little bit. Most of the confusion surrounding pre-meal prayer comes from when to actually pray. Let me just say, on behalf of waiters all over the world, please pray when your waiter is not there. There's nothing worse than a waiter coming out with two full arms of fajitas and you're over there mid-prayer a Jabez. Like, what are you doing? Last but certainly not least, who at the table volunteers to lead the prayer? Lots of people say the man should lead the prayer. Why is that? I'm not sure. It's 2018. Maybe we should get that rule adjusted at some point in the near future. A lot of people operate under the most spiritual person at the table. They're going to be the one that should pray because that prayer is going to be the most powerful and effective. So if you got obviously a pastor, a missionary, even a Christian blogger of some sort, shoot, even a volunteer youth pastor, that prayer is going to be a little less effective, but it's still going to qualify. If you're just an average person sitting at the table with obviously more spiritual people around you, you're kind of off the hook, because I feel like God would be like, hey, how come y'all didn't bless this meal? You'd be like, I don't know. Ask the pastor. He works for you.
I hope you all gathered that that was purely in jest. That was John Crist, a comedian, but I think there's a lot more confusion about prayer than there needs to be. And so during this whole series, we just kind of want to clear it up. And now, not about whether or not you pray for appetizers or not, but seriously, we want to talk about how do you do this core thing to the faith. I mean, the faithful have been praying as long as there's been faithful. And yet, as long as there's been faithful, there have been people that feel uncomfortable praying because they think they're doing it wrong. They don't want to be asked to pray. I mean, some people are just bashful. Some people don't want to talk in public, and that's the same thing. But some people, they don't want to pray because they're afraid they don't pray well enough. And so let me start off very clearly with this prayer about how we pray daily. So I've timed myself in this many times, and it averages out, if I take my time reading through the Lord's Prayer, even the extended versions in the other Gospels, you know, with like the power and evil and forever, amen, that kind of stuff added on there at the end. Even with that, it takes me an average of 27 seconds to pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, this then is how you should pray. Now, I'm not saying that to say that you need to cut it short. I'm just saying it doesn't have to be some priestly prayer length that just goes on forever and ever. And it doesn't have to be special words. You know, I've heard people growing up, I grew up in the church, so I can remember the men's prayer breakfast. And unfortunately, in our church, we took that seriously. It wasn't just breakfast, we prayed. But it wasn't just prayer, it was every man there had to pray. And that wasn't bad, except, you know, when you get 30 guys, man, a kid at 6 in the morning after he just ate a bunch of pancakes and bacon and drank some orange juice and he's going through a sugar crash afterwards, and you got 30 guys praying, and there's some of them that feel like they've got to pray for every relative they've ever had, for a bunion to a corn to a heart attack, whatever, and you just start falling asleep and your head hits the table and your dad pinches your ear real hard so you wake back up. You know, there's a sense in which Christ says you don't have to pray that way. And so I want to be clear to some degree that how you pray to God should honestly reflect how you talk. So Don Mossman, some of you know him, beloved saint of the church here, moved away to Tennessee when he retired. He and his wife Sally, great people. He used to be the head trustee here once upon a time. Great guy. Had a bit of a short fuse temperamental issue, but he'd always go and ask forgiveness of the individual afterwards. Don was a great guy, but Don was a salesman. Russ, do you hear that? Is it only in the monitors? I don't know, it's driving me nuts. I can't hardly think. Thank you, Russ. Whew. So Don Mossman loved to talk, and he would talk your ear off, and he prayed that way. Is that wrong? No, it's how he talks. I tend to be, other than when I'm preaching, a fairly succinct person. This is why I struggled in school when they gave you a length of an essay you had to write. I'm like, I can say it in 3 sentences. Why do I need to fill up a page? I speak differently than Don Mossman does. When we come to how to pray, I want you to realize that you need to, that may sound a bit hard. Sure, you need to pray honestly. You need to pray honestly, and that requires that you don't try to talk to God, except for the level of respect used, any differently than you talk. You don't have to pull out of the woodwork like the guys at the men's prayer breakfast when I was 8 and 9, 10 years old would pull out. All of a sudden, I mean, they'd talk just normal all their entire lives, and then all of a sudden, these, thous, therefore, whatsoever, therefore, all this stuff would come out when they would pray, and it's like their own special little prayer language, but in English, and it was this weird thing that happened when people would pray, especially if they were asked to pray in church. Man, they would get out the note cards, and they'd be going through all the King James. Jesus didn't do that. He didn't do that. I mean, because we've become so used to this specific group of words as a formalized prayer, we think of it formally, but these were just normal words. And it was short and it was to the point. Now, it makes several points, and we want to get to that. But I think, first of all, I want you to hear this. Pray honestly with your words. And if you cuss on a common basis, change that. If you can't pray to God with the same words you say normally, then you need to say things differently on a normal basis. Right? Now, God knows your heart, and if you slip up when you're praying to Him, if it's an honest mistake, you apologize for it and move on. But I'm just going to say that if your common everyday language isn't fit for point number one, God's ears, then you just need to change how you talk. That way you don't have to worry about how you pray. Your prayers should be honest prayers. Now, the interesting thing, not interesting, I guess it's a common thing we take for granted here. He says very simply, our Father in heaven. He's speaking to Him. I can't tell you the number of prayers I've heard people pray when it sounds like they're praying for everybody in the room but God. And they're not talking to Him at all. They're talking about Him to us. And like, that's not a prayer. You know, you can preach a sermon like that, but that's not a prayer. You're supposed to be talking to God. It's for God's ears. And so even the hypocrites and the pagans, Christ's statement against the way they would pray is that it wasn't for God. Don't be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Now, in our culture, that wouldn't be the case because you go out in the village, start praying out loud for others to see you. They're not going to be impressed. They're going to call the paddy wagon. You know that. So it's a different culture. But in their culture, that was something that would make you seem better to everyone around you. And so they would pray to be heard by men. Your prayer should be for God's ears. You should be talking to Him. Now, people struggle with this sometimes, not because they don't, not because necessarily they're trying to be hypocritical, not because they're wanting to talk to other people about God, but because they have a hard time sensing God's real presence, and so they have a hard time talking to somebody that feels like isn't there. I mean, we should be honest about this stuff. And so in your prayer, when you're having a hard time, you know what's best? Don't lie. Don't pretend. You could say things like, God, I don't really sense your presence right now. And I'm having a hard time praying because of it. And I ask that you would make yourself known to me somehow, if you're willing. But even if I don't sense you here, I will serve you anyway. In your name. Amen. Be honest. It's for God's ears. And Christ says very simply here, don't be like the pagans. Why? Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. He knows where you're struggling. He knows where you're hurting. You don't have to try to pretend to be more spiritual than you are to God, for Christ's sake. He knows your heart. If you're struggling with something, just tell Him, God, you know I'm struggling with this. I could use some help, some insight, something. Use your words honestly, respectfully. Realize that you are not praying for other people's benefit. You're praying to talk to the Almighty God. And then you can rediscover this beauty that we could do that. If you can rediscover, or maybe even discover for the first time in your life, the reality that God is willing to listen to you, to you, to me, then once again with the psalmist David's words, we could say, who am I that you are mindful of me? And then your prayer can become once again true worship. One of my favorite little trivia notes about the word prosuke in the Greek is that prayer comes from, is it can be interpreted either worship or request. And in many ways, I think that harmonizing of those two things is what makes prayer so beautiful. That when you remember it's for God's ears, and you remember that you're actually speaking to the creator of the universe, and he's actually listening to you, you can present your requests before him and be in awe of the fact that you even get to do that. See, we take that for granted so much. We forget how in the Old Testament, the high priest once a year on Yom Kippur got to go into the Holy of Holies before the very presence of God on behalf of the entire nation of Israel. We get to go before the throne of God any single time that we choose. And because of that familiarity, we begin to think it's insignificant. But Christ says, very simply, in our daily prayers, we should remember it's for God's ears. Now, I want to be clear that that's not simply that he's supposed to be the only one that hears, although that is implied to some degree as a juxtaposition with the hypocrites that go in the street corners so everybody else can see and hear them pray. But I think it's incredibly important that you realize that the very first word of how we should pray is not first person singular. It starts with our Father. Even here in our daily prayer, number one, we should realize that we are a part of the church, the body collective. But also, our prayers should inhabit the prayers of others as well. We should be praying publicly, not on the street corners to impress other people, but as a group and as a body of people, that we should be praying together, our Father. It's not something where it's just you by yourself, just me and Jesus, just me and Jesus, just me and Jesus. No, that's not Christianity. Our Father. There is a sense of the community of God that is required even in our prayer lives. We cannot escape from. It is not an individualized faith. We get to individually choose whether or not to enter the kingdom of God, but we are not supposed to worship or live or act or be in the church as an individual in a silo. We're supposed to live together in a community of Christians. We're supposed to pray together. We're supposed to say, our Father. But in the midst even of our communal prayers, it should still be for God's ears. When somebody is praying to God on behalf of the church, they should be praying to God. I've heard so many pastors preach a second sermon in the midst of their prayers, it drives me nuts. I'm like, why have I got my eyes closed? You're talking to me. Remember that in our prayers, we're supposed to be speaking to God. Number two, not only is it for God's ears, it is for God's will that we're supposed to be praying. Now, from just anecdotally, my experiential kind of perspective of the way people pray is that like 95% of it is asking for stuff. It could be good stuff. It could be noble stuff. like 95% of the praying is asking for things and stuff and well-being and health and all that kind of stuff. Now, if you look at this prayer, and it's a short one, it goes, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It should be at least 50% about God and his kingdom and his will. We should actually, in other words, we should be willing to hear from him in our prayers, not just tell him stuff. We're supposed to be seeking his will, his direction for our lives, because ultimately, as Christians, we're not supposed to be about building our own little fiefdoms, but we're supposed to be building the kingdom of God. And so we need to know what his will is so we can then go do it. That's one of the primary purposes of prayer, is that God would speak to us and reveal to us his will. And so our prayer life on a daily, regular basis should reflect our honest desire, our earnest desire to actually know what he wants us to do on this, the everyday. God, what is it you want me to do? What is your will for me today? Reveal to me, Lord, if you're willing, what you want me to do. Make sure that you make blatantly obvious the good deeds you prepared in advance for me to do today so that I can do them. We should be spending a vastly more significant amount of time in our prayer life asking God for direction. Rather than giving him directions. Most people's prayer time reads like a Santa Claus wish list. But if you look at this, it has very little to do with a wish list. The only wishes this prayer is about are God's. Do you see that? Take a moment. Look at the prayer really quickly. Go ahead. You don't have to look at me. Look at the Bible you've got open in your lap. Or on your phone, whatever. Look at it. Our daily bread and forgiveness, if we're willing to forgive, and don't lead us into temptation. That is not a laundry list of things I want. That is, help me to be useful to you. Now, this is a daily prayer. Now, I don't want you to come away from today with the thought that this is the only way you should pray. Because, like I said, we're doing three sermons on three different types of prayers. But today, this one, we're talking about our normal, daily, day-to-day prayer life. The thing that we should just do on a regular basis. And your regular prayers should focus primarily on God's will, not your will. Not what you want. Not because what you want is unimportant or irrelevant, but because God's desire supersedes ours. Because he's our Lord and King. And so prayer should be far more about, God, what is it that you want me to do? What are your marching orders for me today? It's for God's ears, and it's for God's will to be done by us. Right? It says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Angels in heaven are already doing God's will. Who is it needs to do God's will on earth? Me. God, what's your will for me to do today? And then we're to go about doing that. Third point, not only for God's ears and for God's will, but for our needs. Now, one of my favorite phrases, you guys know by now that I have quite a few little phrases that I use with my children repeatedly so that they can actually quote them back to you. One of them is that I love to say that, you don't have to like it, you just have to eat it. You know, your desire for it is irrelevant, you know, if you don't want it. That's nice. Thank you for the trivial bit of information, but the food was not given to you to enjoy primarily, but for you to ingest. And so, like it or not, that's what you're eating, right? So you don't have to like it. I don't like this. Good. You don't have to. You just have to eat it. Another thing, and I love to say quite frequently, though, is that need is a strong word. Dad, I need... No, you don't need that. Bennett agrees. See? He says, preach it, Brother John. That's what that was. I'm interpreting his gift of tongues right there. I don't know. tongue in cheek. Anyway, our wants are many, but our needs are few. And if you pray about your wants, your prayers will be primarily about your wants, because we all want a whole lot of stuff. We want lots of stuff. And there's nothing wrong with wanting that stuff. I don't want you to hear that. There's nothing wrong with the wants that we have. Well, I mean, there could be some desires of the flesh, but there's nothing wrong with wanting stuff. Your prayer life should not be about your wants. It should be about our needs, though. The fascinating thing here is he says, give us today our daily bread. There's a sense of ongoing dependency upon God that is built into this prayer. It doesn't say, Lord God, give us our needs for the next 8 months in our larder so we don't have to pray to you tomorrow for our needs. Give us everything we need so we know we got it and don't have to worry about it and don't come back to you. In fact, there was an early prayer in the Old Testament that goes something along that lines of, don't give me so much that I forget that I need you, and don't give me so little that I'm tempted to steal for my needs. And there's that healthy balance in our prayer life that should reflect the fact that God is the source of sustenance. He is the source of provision. He is the one I lean upon and rely upon for my needs. And I need you every hour I need you. But my prayers should not be about my want list. My prayers should be for God's ears, for God's will to be done, and that He would meet my needs. And the needs here that Christ gives as an example is our daily food, forgiveness, and not to be led into temptation. Those are the three prayers. That God would help us avoid temptation. That He would forgive us if we're willing to forgive those who sin against us. And that He would supply our daily food need. This is not for creme brulee or the second appetizer or whatever else it was that Chris was praying for in that prayer, but it's about our needs. And the beautiful thing about this is that our wants are many and our needs are few, and so if you're praying about your needs, you can pray short prayers. I don't know about you, but I've been in a lot of prayer meetings and I've been in a lot of pastors' conferences where it's like that. It seems like their credentials are how long they can pray. And God already knows what you need. You're not informing Him. You're not even reminding Him. You're just reminding yourself of your reliance upon Him for it. I want to repeat that for you. The purpose of praying to God for what you need is not to inform Him of your need. It's not to remind Him of your need. It's to remind you of your reliance upon Him for it. God already knows what you need. And He's a loving Father. He doesn't need you to explain it in specific, explicit detail. He just needs you to surrender to Him as the great supplier of your needs. Now we're going to get to a couple of other prayers. Like I said, we're going to get to the Garden of Gethsemane prayer about when we're struggling with stuff. We're going to get to the great priestly prayer about how to pray or to intercede on somebody else's behalf. We're going to get to those in this series, but today we just want to focus on this dailiness of our prayer life. And so number one, you should see that in here very clearly, is that this should be a daily reality in your life. More than just asking Him to bless the food, it should be a daily part of your life. It should be for God's ears, not to impress those around you. It should be seeking His will and direction how to build His kingdom. And it should be about you remembering that you rely upon Him and His provision for your daily necessities. And that's it. And even if you pray it earnestly with great feeling and emotion and take your time, it's 27 seconds on average to pray the Lord's Prayer. This is something within your easy grasp. And the next time somebody asks you to pray, realize you're just supposed to be honest in your own words, speaking to God, seeking His direction and His provision. Lord God, I pray that You would be honored in the way that we pray. I ask that You would help us to rely upon You in every single way in our lives for You to supply our needs. And I do ask, Lord, that You would reveal to us as we take this up as a spiritual discipline, but also as a great joy, that You would show us what You want us to do, that we wouldn't be confounded by all the multiplicity of options in the modern life, but rather we would see clearly those good deeds You prepared in advance for us to do. And then, knowing what You've asked us to do, we would set about doing them. Give us the strength we need to submit to You and the strength we need to change the world. But let us first change ourselves through the power of Your Holy Spirit's presence in us. I ask these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Would you give your attention to the announcements, please?
Good morning, North Park. We've got a lot of announcements for you today. First off, pick up your blue food pantry boxes in the foyer. 50% of the proceeds between now and Easter are going to go to the local food pantry, and the other 50% will go to the church's benevolence fund. Speaking of food pantry, a new food pantry challenge between the 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. services is on. From now through Lent until Easter, we will be doing this challenge. I know 9 o'clock's come out ahead the last couple of times. Let's pick it up, 11. Let's see what we can do. For Lent this year, North Park will be participating in a media fast. We'll fast from media, all or some, during the 40 days of Lent, which has already begun. We'll be doing it together as a church body. Game night is back on tonight at 6 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. What a great alternative to screens during Lent. Come on down tonight at 6 p.m. and have some fun. Speaking of 6 p.m. tonight, the Lay Shepherding Ministry needs volunteers. If you enjoy visiting shut-ins or people in the hospital, please contact the church office or Wayne Hall at 716-474-5607. Or if you want to jump right into this ministry right away, there will be a training session for volunteers tonight at 6 p.m. in the church library, with the expectation of beginning this ministry on April 12th.
We will be collecting candy for the upcoming Easter egg scavenger hunt on Saturday, April 13th. Collection bins will be in the foyer starting today. Please, no hard candy, as that could pose a choking hazard. We do appreciate it. Thank you.
If you're an adult member and would like to nominate someone for a leadership position for the coming year, please fill out the nomination form and place it in the box in the foyer. Anyone nominated will also need to be an adult member in good standing. Ladies, are you funny, witty, just a plain old hoot? Well, it's time to shine. We're calling all women and girls to take a turn at the mic and entertain us at our upcoming coffee, cake, and comedy night on Saturday, March 23rd at 6:30 p.m. We know you're out there. We've seen your Facebook posts, your Instagrams, your tweets. So you've got that talent. We know you do. Sign up in the foyer. And another announcement just for the ladies. On Saturday, April 6th, Priscilla Scheiber and Anthony Evans will be delivering a global Bible teaching event. This is a full-day women's conference taking place at the Believer's Chapel in Olean. The cost will be $5 per person. However, North Park's T2 Women's Ministry will cover the cost for those who want to attend. Simply sign up on the bulletin board in the foyer. A schedule of the day's event will be posted beside the sign-up sheet. But don't delay, as signups close on Sunday, March 31st. Parents, please remember to promptly pick up your children from Power Station following each morning service. We want to ensure your child's safety and enjoyable experience in Power Station. Feel free to stop and visit with our volunteers. They would love to share with you what we've been teaching downstairs on Sunday mornings. Children who are not picked up in a timely manner will be given sugar and a puppy.
Cheap way of getting one right there. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward. We're going to give God his tithes and his offerings. If you could take the little black book on the outside of the pew aisle, fill those out, pass them into the middle. When they get to the middle, if you could pass them back to the outside, that helps us to reset for the second service. We would greatly appreciate it. Lord God, I pray that you would bless the gift, the giver, and the eventual recipient of ministry made possible by the cheerful donations of your people. And yes, that's become almost a litany. But Lord, I ask that you would do just that. We know as you multiplied loaves and fishes, that you can multiply the gifts of your people. And I pray that you would help us to expand our outreach into this community that you have planted us in, that we would be able to reach the lost with the good news of Jesus Christ, but that we'd also be able to help those who either know you or don't know you yet. And I ask that we would make that possible today in a cheerful way. In your name, amen. You would go ahead and rise. The deviled eggs are delicious. Whoever keeps bringing those, thank you. It is the second Sunday of the month, so there's snackage out there. Feel free to hang out and fellowship. Also, a couple of things I need to make you aware of real quickly. Wayne Hall with the Lay Shepherding Ministry will be here in the back if you're needing any additional information about that to help you make a decision as to whether or not that's a ministry fit for you to go and visit those who are shut-ins or elderly or for various and sundry reasons. But I also need to make you aware of something less enjoyable, and we're going to take a moment to pray for them. But Cassandra and Hudson Risky were just in a motor vehicle accident. Michael's on his way to Olean General Hospital right now to meet them. I don't know anything about the severity, but they were probably on their way here, given the timing of their accident. So we're going to pray for Cassandra and Hudson real quick. Lord God, you know the situation, so I pray that you'd be in it. Or I pray that you would help them to come through well, that they would be healthy and whole. But ultimately, I pray that you'd give Cassandra especially the clarity and the capacity to, in the midst of this, exude your grace, that those who are treating their wounds and taking care of them would be amazed at how your Spirit gives peace in the midst of storms. I pray that you would use each and every one of us in all of these types of situations to extend your kingdom's reach. I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, Lord God, I pray that you would bless these, your sons and daughters. Give them a sense of joy, of purpose, and of connection to you. I pray that they would not only know that you exist, but they would sense you from time to time in the midst of their day, that they would know that you not only are, but that you are with them. I ask these things in your name. Amen. You are dismissed. Go and be the church.